If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Fan Morning Show, Jeff Hathorn, Jim Colonnay, Sean Myers with you on New Year's Eve. And hopefully it'll be an awesome night for everyone. Just stay safe. Weather's going to be tricky.
What's it going to be like tomorrow afternoon? Like around 3 o'clock?
I don't know. I think it's going to be okay. I think it's going to be okay.
It should be okay by then.
Are you going sled riding?
No. Aren't you coming over?
Oh, yeah, there's that. Well, after we get done with Steeler practice.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Jim, Mike Tomlin said, went through the injury list. Isaac Seumalo, James Pierre, Brandon Echols, Calvin Austin. Oh, and TJ Watt. He's optimistic about all of them returning.
Is the week going to speak to us?
Darnell Washington won't play, obviously, with a broken arm. So of those guys, Jim, and maybe I'll even exclude Watt, who is the most critical for them to get back for this game with the Ravens Sunday night?
Well, I think getting the DBs back, I think, would help a lot. But then you can make an argument that based on what we saw, the receiver fiasco last game, that you could say Austin is actually – that elevated his importance based on what we saw with the other guys. Although I think Seumalo was always a good bet. You get him back, and then, you know, Dylan Cook has been a revelation to me. I brought this up, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, saying that and I know he's not one of the injured guys, but could this be another Al Villanueva? And this was after he had only played, he hadn't even started a game yet. He had just come on because he had to. And it was like, holy crap, this guy, that's the best left tackle play the Steelers have had since what? Since a long time ago?
Yeah, I mean, Broderick had some moments. I didn't think he was improving, but yeah, I mean, you haven't seen many clean sheets on that left side. And
no, but
Dylan provided a clean sheet.
I guess anybody they can get back will help. But what I think has been proven the last couple games is that, and I remember saying this in the off season before they paid him all this money, is that why not trade him? You know, it's like the old Ralph Kiner: we finished last with you, we can finish last without you. And in the Steelers' case, it's like, hey, we finished a game over 500 with you, we can finish a game over 500 without you. And especially since, you know, they brought in Jack Sawyer, as long as Alex Highsmith is healthy, that's the one position where they can afford to be light. They don't. It's always nice to have a guy who's been a defensive player of the year, and at least for the next several days, you know, the season, single season sack guy. But they don't need him as much as. He's not as valuable to them as a lot of other guys are. But really, the thing is that the one thing I think that TJ will help with is stopping the run. And unless John Harbaugh is an idiot, which he has proven to be several times against the Steelers in the past, at least since he's had Derrick Henry, is just give the ball. I would just give the ball to Derrick Henry every single time until the Steelers can stop him. I would be willing to bet that you could go first and 10, and you give it to him, and it's going to be second and 5, and then it's going to be third and 1, and then it's going to be first and 10. If you just give it to Derrick Henry over and over and over again. Isn't that what happened in the Buffalo game, where they ran the same couple plays over and over again, and the Steelers couldn't stop them?
So I've seen some comments on social media of Steeler fans saying seriously that they want Lamar to play. They want Lamar over Huntley at quarterback because their thought process is that if Lamar plays, the Ravens are going to get too cute, or they're going to try to
keep him happy
instead of just handing the ball to Henry over and over and over and over again. I don't subscribe. I don't want Lamar out there at any point. I understand the thought process, and I do hope that from that standpoint that they do change their game plan. And like, ooh, we can do all these other things now that we have Lamar in. Instead of just handing the damn ball to Derrick Henry, which I would, you know.
Well, didn't they learn from, well, they didn't learn from last year. At the end of last year, where they just ran roughshod over the Steelers. And then earlier this year, TJ made at least one play early, maybe a couple. Highsmith might have made a play too. And I believe Henry put the ball on the ground. And then they got away from it. And if I'm Baltimore, I wouldn't care. If he fumbles, all right. Well, that's too bad. He fumbled. He's not going to do that again. So unless he does it more than once, then I wouldn't get away from it. And that makes the Steelers' job that much easier. But I do agree with that, at least to a point. Is that, I don't know. It's like, you know, you've got a quarterback. He's an MVP or has been in the past. And said, well, we got to use him because he's Lamar Jackson. And we got Snoop Huntley, and well, he needs to hand the ball off. But it would make sense just to hand the ball off with Lamar Jackson as a quarterback, and then run Henry, and then use Lamar Jackson to be Lamar Jackson.
Who would you rather have as your coach for your fan base, John Harbaugh or Mike Tomlin?
For some reason, I'd rather have Tomlin. But does neither count? Because both are in the same, and I know that I've heard Rob Long is really good. I remember when we had him on morning shows when I was on, and he was on the other day in the midday show, and he's always been like, we'd rather have Tomlin, and you know, you guys, and they're very similar in terms of in a lot of ways, aren't they? It's not like they're the same guy. They're obviously different in the way they go about things, and yet in terms of their resume, very similar. Where that you go things to a certain point, and I heard Sean on the pre show talking about Penn State, James Franklin getting to a certain level and then couldn't break through what that glass ceiling, whatever it was, and so it's like, geez, I'm sick of this. I'm ready to move on. And hey, look, it could be worse. And it probably will be at Penn State. And for the Steelers, it could be worse. But maybe not.
So I would probably pick Tomlin. Because I think Tomlin does more with less. But not that I'm happy with what he's doing. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
My biggest beef with Tomlin is that he doesn't develop assistant coaches. Assistant coaches don't come in here and get better. And then until recently, they couldn't develop defensive backs. And that was supposedly his calling card when he came here from way back when. And man, that was a long time ago now, wasn't it? When you think about everything that's happened to you, and our lives have been pretty well, certainly in my case, fairly steady. But still, a lot of stuff has happened to me over the last 19 years. You know, losing a job, and then getting this one, you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, we've been in the same place. There's been a little bit, you know, a little bit of change in there. But there's a lot of stuff that happens to most people over the course of 19 years that are being in the same place.
I would imagine if you're in Baltimore, and I know there have been some injuries that they've dealt with. Man, you are in the prime spot of having a Hall of Fame-type franchise quarterback and the top runner of this decade, of this last decade, and one of the top 10 of all time, 15 of all time, and you don't win a championship with that.
And their defense has always been good.
Even though it's not that great this year.
No.
And they have had, again, they've had some injuries. And I think in a salary cap world, it's hard to be really good on both sides, because even when they won a Super Bowl, that first Super Bowl, they were really, really good on defense. Their offense was pretty pathetic. And I get that. But, man, if I'm a Ravens fan, I'm tired of the excuses. Like, they were smart in that they developed an offense that most pros wouldn't use at the time. Like, they realized what they had in Lamar. But, man, the fact that they can't get beyond that, whoever loses this game, while maybe the franchise won't put them on the hot seat, the fan base is going to put one of these two coaches on the hot seat based on what happens on Sunday night.
Which is why the atmosphere on Sunday night is going to be fascinating. I think. But I do you think whichever, well, you kind of stopped short of saying it, but do you think whichever coach loses on Sunday night is gone? I bet Harbaugh almost certainly is.
I don't know. They model themselves after the Steelers and consistency. And can Harbaugh just play off the injuries, including to if Lamar doesn't play, do you fire him? I mean, you don't have your starting quarterback.
Well,
you don't have a former MVP at quarterback, and you end up losing a game. And if you look back at the earlier games, I mean, they lost a lot of one-score games to good teams, or who you thought were good teams, like the Chiefs and the Lions, and may have been better teams back then. I don't know. I don't know that either, Coach. I don't think Tomlin loses his job either way.
Well, unless he decides to walk away. And I know there was that Schefter thing out there, but who knew that the Penguins would move on from Mike Sullivan? That was unexpected.
Well, until I hear from Jay Glazer, I'm not going to necessarily.
Yeah, so Schefter, we don't put Schefter's any. Yeah, we don't put any stock into that.
When it comes to Tomlin, because he's tight. Like that's
they could work together though. Think about it.
But when we come back, let's talk about that crowd thing, because I think other than what happens on the field, it's the most fascinating thing about Sunday night is what the crowd is going to be like. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It's the Fan Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Jeff Hathorn, Jim Colony, Sean Myers in for Adam Crowley, Doran Dickerson, and Nicholas Callis. I don't know if they're back in the new year. I think they're back in like days after the new year.
Yeah, NC's off the rest of the week, I believe. He'll be back, the 5th maybe? January 5th?
I think Crowley's not back till then either.
No one really knows around here. No one knew who was hosting yesterday for Starkey. That was quite the mystery for a while.
Yeah, I think some illness played a part in that. That got a little crazy.
Turned out to be limits. He was off from producing, and his reward from having a day off was hosting instead.
Oh, well, yeah.
They didn't ask you, Jeff.
I think because I was at Tomlin, I didn't get asked because I had to do that part of it. And that's okay because I heard about it in the morning, and I'm like, I was checking my phone, and it was cool. Sunday night, Steelers Ravens.
See, that's the thing when these holidays occur during the middle of the week. Like I forgot yesterday was Tuesday,
and so you missed Tomlin.
I did. I didn't miss much, but I forgot. Normally, you know, I'm not really doing too much during the middle of any particular Tuesday. So I'm either in the car listening or I'm at home. I flip on the TV, see Pomp and see Missy, and I'm good. And yesterday I was like, oh, I forgot. So I was thinking yesterday was Wednesday.
So we heard in the Buffalo game that was going very poorly, and the Bills rushed for more yards than any team had ever rushed for in that stadium, 249 yards. The booing of Renegade. The fire Tomlin chants. Occasionally you'd hear it sporadically, like a couple people yelling it, but it never got any traction. It got a lot of traction that night.
Yes, it did.
So this is a AFC North championship week. Winner goes on into the playoffs. The loser goes home. So does the fan base treat this like a playoff game where it's like, hey, we're getting behind the Steelers, and it'll be like that at the beginning. But if it's 10-0 Baltimore, what do you think the crowd will be like?
Well, 10-0 is a little too early, because how many games have we seen? And the Steelers have been on both ends of that. Things can change. It's like the Monday night game, if anybody was still paying attention to that. There are tons of games. The Bills and Patriots a few weeks ago. Now, not that the Steelers are as capable as those teams as being explosive, I think 10-0 is a little bit, but I understand what you're saying. If things are not going well, and yeah, I think the crowd's going to turn. I'm not sure exactly when the crowd would turn. I would say it does depend on the score. We'll use your 10-0 as a model. It's 10-0 midway through the third quarter,
and the offense looks horrible.
Then yeah. But at some point, I'd just as soon have Aaron Rodgers not wait until he absolutely has to just say F it and go out and do what he thinks he should be doing.
If it's 34-24, is that a different feel, or is their annoyance at the defense? Because obviously, if they've given up 34 points in the third quarter.
Yeah, presumably that would be, I'd say, after three quarters, if you've given up 34 points, then there's no reason to believe that the defense would be able to stop them from scoring anymore. Yeah, I think the crowd would be, I think midway through the third quarter is when things start to go off the rails in terms of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I'm not one to, listen, fans can do what they want. You know, within reason, they pay the money, they can boo, they could cheer, sure, they could whatever.
Yeah, put on a blue wig and whatever.
So I'm not going to say, hey, this is a playoff type game. Like Tomlin discussed how the fans can impact this game in a positive way. Like you have to go and cheer. I'm just trying to figure out in my mind, like, is it going to be more lenient because of the stakes? Because
I think less so. I think less lenient. I mean, this is it. This is, I think that they're, and maybe by us even talking about it, but, you know, fans aren't stupid. They don't need you and I to sit there, right, and say, you know, hey, there's a possibility this could be Mike Tomlin's last game as Steelers coach. But there is that possibility. But I don't know. I may have thought that several years ago, that after you saw late season collapses. And that's the other thing, too, is that that's been a trend. The difference this year is that they actually won three games in a row to avert the late season collapse. But then all of a sudden the late season collapse materialized over the course of four quarters in Cleveland.
Well, you started off 4-1. And, I mean, there's talk, remember early in the season, where Steelers are 4-2, the Ravens are 1-5. And, I remember shows in October about closing out the Ravens in October, which was premature, but I understand the sentiment that they were 1-5. Ravens go on a 6-game winning streak. Then the Steelers go down there, win that game somehow. I mean, some things fell their way, but they won that game and then won out, including a game at Detroit, which people could say whatever they want now.
At the time.
At the beginning of the year, when you did wins and losses, you absolutely checked that as a loss. Detroit was a Super Bowl favorite in the NFC. You absolutely looked at it and went, okay, here's a loss. That became a win. And so, in a crazy ending or a crazy interpretation that took for not, it wasn't, it was the right interpretation, but it took forever to figure out who won the damn game. So you're riding that and you're like, man, you just have to go up to Cleveland against a 3-win team. And all of a sudden, all that positive just turn negative in a second. What do you think is going to happen on Sunday if the Steelers are trailing in the second half?
Well, I don't even think it's going to take until the second half. To your point, I think if they're down more than a touchdown, you're going to hear rumblings. Now, I will say this, just with how the NFL is, if you're within 10 points, even with 5 minutes left in the game, if you have the ball, I feel like there's always a chance. Just how teams can quickly put together a 2-minute drive. You get the stop because the other team's just going to run the ball. But I do think we're going to hear something similar to what we heard against Buffalo if the Steelers get down. Because I think fans are almost waiting for a reason to be able to turn on Mike Tomlin. There's a lot of people who flat out want them to lose this game because it's more ammunition to move on from him.
Well, I think there are going to be there's a difference between rumblings and what we saw in the Buffalo game that turned into an eruption. And so I think the rumbling is going to be there from the beginning. It's almost like, I'm trying to think of, I always come back to that hockey playoff mentality. You know, remember back when the Penguins were in the playoffs? It's like you lose a game and you think, oh man, there's no way they're ever going to. And then you win a game and it's like, oh, they're going to win the state. You know, there's that every game to game, the feeling changed. I think in a lot of instances, even when Marc-Andre Fleury was struggling at times off and on, there was that feeling of dread that something bad was going to happen. And you would hear that kind of the undertow of people expecting bad things to happen. And I think that I think a large portion of Steeler fan base is going into this thing with a negative idea that just afraid what's going to happen. Now, like you said, there are some people that say, you know what, let's let this happen now. It's like people earlier in the season when they started losing, it's like, okay, just lose. Get a better draft pick. We'll get a quarterback, whatever. I just think that there's going to be a negative undertone to this game from the beginning, and then it could turn. When it will turn, I don't know. Maybe it won't. You know, maybe the Steelers will do something ridiculous like throw to Freiermuth in the first quarter. Maybe. Probably not.
No DK Metcalf. Calvin Austin questionable. Listen, we're going to continue this talk throughout the morning. We also, it is New Year's Eve, so we want to get to some of the stories of the year. We did this a little bit the day after Christmas. So we're going to get to the Steelers stories of the year. And Jim, I want to get your reaction to some of those stories this season, plus some of the Pirates stories, Penguin stories, Pitt, other stories of the year. Ray Fittipaldo is going to join us at 8 o'clock, and at 9 o'clock, it is a Wednesday with Doug Whaley, as the Fans general manager will join us to talk all kinds of things going on in the sports world. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The biggest stories of the Steelers season leading into the final game of the season is next here on the Fan Morning Show. Jeff Hathorn, Jim Colony here with you on the Fan Morning Show, along with Sean Myers. It has been every year in Pittsburgh is an eventful year for the Pittsburgh Steelers, no matter what they do. They are the team of the city. So let's, Jim, look at their stories of the year. And we'll start here with the obvious number one. Just step back for a second. The Steelers signed Aaron Rodgers, like 41-year-old, future Hall of Famer, one of the top 5-7 quarterbacks of all time. They brought in Aaron Rodgers, and it's actually worked pretty decent.
Yeah, it has. I still want to see more. The thing about that story was is that it was always simmering the whole time, and people are wondering, and I thought he would have been better off going to Minnesota.
But it also seemed kind of flaky, like, hey, we see the stuff on McAfee, and like, where's this guy going? Is he going to go to all the cave jokes, all the eating bark jokes? Like, is this guy really going to come to Pittsburgh? And then at 41, based on what you saw with the Jets, like, what's this guy got left? He's got some left.
No, it's worked out well, but it's also worked out probably the way that a lot of Steeler fans were afraid it would, which is, hey, we're 9-8.
Yeah. And I think ultimately what happens Sunday will determine if it was a good signing or not.
But it may not be up to him necessarily. I mean, unless he gets out there and tries to tackle Derrick Henry, I don't think that's going to happen. No, it's worked out. Could it have been better? Yes. Could he have operated a lot better in Cleveland? Oh, absolutely, especially at the end where you start to think, hey, look, he's finally got the offense moving, and then he develops tunnel vision for MVS at the end of the game, inexplicably, thinking that he was, and I mean, even though he was interfered with on the last play of the game, but I guess they wanted nothing to do with calling pass interference on that play. But anyway, you know, he, I still wanted to see more of, look, okay, I understand the play you're calling in to my helmet, but that's not going to work here, and we're going to do something else. And I don't think we've seen enough of that. And I'm not sure. And you know how at the end of a game where all of a sudden, you know, the defense is on its heels just because that's the way the defenses are called. You know, you're in a prevent mode. You got to keep everything in front of you. So, yeah, all of a sudden the middle of the field is wide open for Freiermuth, and it looks easier to move the ball. Why didn't they do that earlier? I know that's an oversimplification, but I wanted to see more of that where he just said, no, look, let's go no huddle on this. Let's hurry up. Let me figure out what to do and it'll work.
Overall, 9-6 with him in there as quarterback and a chance to win the division. TJ Watt gets a $41 million a year, 3-year extension to become the highest paid, at the time, the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. And I think we heard for the first time during those negotiations, if you will, people saying, well, maybe they ought to just trade him. Like, I wouldn't give him this money. I'm not saying a majority, but you started to hear that. TJ Watt gets $41 million. Injuries have played into the last, you know, whatever exactly happened a couple of weeks ago is playing into this, his overall stats. What did you think of TJ getting $41
million? I would have traded him. I would have. I talked about that a year ago. Or not a year ago, but, you know, whatever, you know, last spring. Yeah, why not? I mean, you could have done more with $40 million, especially with the depth that you have at that position. Now, having said that, how many games did Highsmith miss this year? Or how much time, if he played hobbled, whatever. And then even Herbig got hurt too. So Jack Sawyer's done pretty well when he was in there. But there was depth at that position. I think I would have looked into moving him instead of paying him.
Sean, what would you do?
So I think the big thing is if you decide you're going to move on from Watt, you have to probably move on from Cam Hayward. You probably don't bring in Aaron Rodgers. You don't bring in Jalen Ramsey. It's a completely different approach. I think if you say we're moving on from Watt,
a rebuild.
It would be insincere to try to make yourself to be a contender at this point.
So you mentioned...
And I would actually be fine with a rebuild, to be honest.
But you could get away... I don't want to say you don't need him, but... He's not as necessary as you would think. He really isn't. And could you have, you know, gone out and gotten another receiver?
Are you saying that because of the way Highsmith has played when healthy?
Yes. Oh yeah. That was the whole reason behind it. And there was also when people were talking about picking up another receiver, trade Highsmith to get that receiver. And I just think, hey, you know what? If you use Freiermuth as your quote unquote number two receiver, that would work too. But you know, this mismanagement all over the place.
So you mentioned Hayward. Hayward named the Walter Payton Man of the Year. Congratulations. He does all this amazing stuff off the field and had a great year on it. Best defensive tackle last year and having a really good year this year. But he wanted compensated for it and said there was a verbal agreement that if he had a really good year, he needed more money. And it was amazing to watch the turn on Cam for wanting more money. Cam Hayward, Walter Payton Man of the Year, and then becoming a heel to some extent for a little while is one of the Steelers' stories of the year.
Well, just see, it was out of character for him. I mean, you just described his character. Nobody demonstrates better character than Cam Hayward. That's why he finally won that award league-wide. How many times? He'd been a nominee for a long time. And I know that's probably a difficult award to win because a lot of guys do a lot. Every time they show that, you know, during a game and you see guys on the other team that you don't know about and the stuff that they do, there's tons of guys that do great things in the league. But that was well-deserved. He'd been doing it for a long time and a player of his ability to go along with that. But it was just, that seemed so out of character for him. And then when the other thing, which was the game where he complained about? Was it Josh Allen who need him and the whatever? I mean, that just, I just right. Like, what are you talking about?
Steelers trade Minkah Fitzpatrick and get Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey. Sean, has that trade worked out for the Steelers?
It was a massive win at the time, but I think most people expected Jonnu would have a big season, and he would maybe be that de facto number two receiver. He's been nowhere close to that. I still think Jalen Ramsey probably is more valuable than Minkah would have been because he seemed like he was neutered a little bit his last few seasons here. Ultimately, I look at it as they got a little bit better, but maybe not as good of a trade as it seemed initially.
I would have traded Minkah too. I mean, I'd said that last time. It was the same deal. It's like you're paying those guys a lot of money. What are you getting for it? And I love the trade. I like to trade. And good for Minkah if he brought a two-point conversion back for a score in Miami. But Jonnu Smith has been misused. You're telling me that either he or Freiermuth wouldn't be a good slot receiver? You're looking for a slot receiver? Put a 6'5" guy in the slot and see what you can do with it against a little slot corner.
I think if you knew Darnell was going to be what Darnell became for this season, then adding Jonnu was an extra that you didn't need. Like, you could have found somewhere else to use that body. But you didn't know that at the time, that Darnell was going to have the type of season that he was going to have. A complete overhaul of the quarterback room for the Steelers. Wilson, Fields, Allen, all gone. I know Allen was a third stringer, but they're all gone. Any thoughts? My initial thought was take a chance on Justin Fields. He's 26. Give him the reins. See what he can do. And if the season bombs, it bombs. Given what he did with the Jets, my opinion, a good decision to not sign Justin Fields. Jim?
Yeah, the quarterback thing has worked out. Allen, by the way, threw the best pass of last season. Came off the bench, boom, right down the middle, bullet,
now,
first down.
Russ's
back to the
pass
bench.
To Williams to beat Washington was a hell of a pass.
Yeah, no, I was oversimplifying the whole thing. No, the quarterback thing had worked out. It's just that whole business of, you know, letting it play out, and I'm not so sure, and I know that he did play a game in Chicago and they lost, but, you know, I don't know how much different it would have been with Mason Rudolph. It probably wouldn't have been as good. But I've always thought that Rudolph never really got, he never really got a chance.
DK Metcalf suspended the final two games of the regular season for an altercation with a fan in Detroit. Sean, too simple to say that move is why the Steelers are in that position, in this position.
If they lose on Sunday, that will be one of the more lamented and regrettable things that have happened to the Steelers in a long, long time. Because I don't think there's anyone that doubts that they would have beaten Cleveland if he was in that game. And we said right from the onset, they trade George Pickens. If they lose Metcalf for an extended period, and two games at this point counts as an extended period, it's going to be real tough. And we saw it play out like that. So yeah, he just could not put himself in that position. And again, if they make the playoffs, no one's really going to think about it too much down the road. If they miss the playoffs, that will be the turning point of the season, I think.
How ironic to get rid of Pickens because you were afraid that he would do something like that, that would get himself suspended for a couple of games, and then Metcalf did. What he did was stupid, and was, I don't want to say uncalled for, because we still don't have the full story about all that stuff, but it was stupid, and yet at the same point, I thought the punishment outweighed the crime by a lot. I mean, suspend him for a game. Okay, fine him a lot of money. Okay. But suspending him for two games for that, I didn't think, no. Based on precedent, no, that was excessive.
Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't have been over there. He shouldn't have got himself in that position. That being said, I would love these fans to come. And people use the phrase, well, he was face-to-face. No. Standing right next to DK Metcalf and say the same things. Like, I would love to have seen that happen. Last one for the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger, Marquise Pouncey, and Joey Porter go into the Hall of Honor. It's hard not to have Super Bowl 40 flashbacks. And Jim, it is pretty cool. You know the Pouncey-Roethlisberger relationship that kind of those two, and then another guy who was a catalyst for with his play and with his words for the Steelers to win Super Bowl 40.
Well, I remember one of the memorable things leading up to that was when Jeremy Stevens mouthed off in Seattle, and Joey Porter was like, all right, now I can say something. Because Bill Cowher had basically implored him, Joey, you're going to want us, don't say anything, and then Jeremy Stevens mouthed off, and Joey was like, okay. And then it was, I thought it was interesting too that, hey, if you ever need an offensive pass interference call to help you out, Detroit is the perfect place to get that.
I remember Chad Johnson with the Bengals before he became Ocho Cinco saying that the Steelers were old news, like a black and white TV, and Porter saying after that game, screaming in the locker room about how he was going to get Ocho Cinco a high def black and white TV so he could watch the rest of the playoffs.
Here's a question. Do they have to remove Big Ben from the Hall of Honor when he invariably comes back and plays at the end of next season like Philip Rivers?
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. They said he couldn't do it, and unfortunately he hasn't. Again, snubbed, or was he? Hines Ward and the Hall of Fame, we'll talk that next on the Fan Morning Show, 93.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
7 The Fan. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jeff Hathorn, Jim Colony, Sean Myers. Jim's just opened a beer. And away we go.
I know, that was off mic.
It is New Year's Eve. I'm not judging. I'm just reporting.
Yeah.
Because you do have a koozie on it, and it is silver. So I have no idea what's in that.
It's a Diet Pepsi.
Mm-hmm. Hines Ward, a decade in this, and still not in the Hall of Fame, not even a finalist for the Hall of Fame this year.
Has he made it past the 15?
Yes.
Into the 15. I think
forget
he's,
how many times he's been a finalist. But listen, maybe I'm a homer, maybe because we both covered him. I think the intangibles that Hines Ward brought, like no one was more feared as a receiver if you played in an opposing secondary at the time than Hines. His intensity, you know, how he played the game, the smile, a Super Bowl MVP. I know he wasn't the most dynamic receiver ever, but he does have over 1,000 catches, three of them maybe not as legitimate as the other 997. He has over 12,000 yards. I think it's 83 or 85 touchdowns. The numbers could kind of get him in or at least make a case, but the fact that he was maybe at least in the modern era the best blocking receiver in the game, I think should land him in the Hall of Fame.
But it's not going to happen. If it didn't happen by now, it's not going to happen because of all the guys. And maybe, I don't know, whenever his last year of eligibility comes up, maybe there'll be one of those kind of things where some people that haven't voted for him finally do. But I just don't see it's going to happen because people are going to, like, Larry Fitzgerald's first time eligible, okay?
So no brainer.
And he's a first.
Absolutely.
He should be a
should
first
be
ballot.
Unanimous.
Unless Ron Cook has a vote.
Wow.
But that's actually, speaking of lists that come out, and I know you'll probably get into the most undeserving Hall of Famers. There's a list of them. And then when it's the most undeserving Heisman Trophy people, you know, Jason White's at the top of that list. But anyway, but at any rate, and then he came back for another year. That was like the greatest part of that. Is that Larry Fitz went to the NFL and Jason White went back for another year at Oklahoma and he finally didn't win the Heisman. But anyway, it's just he's not going to get there. I remember doing one year. I can't remember which year it was, but this was back when Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison were putting up ridiculous numbers in Indianapolis in a dome with Peyton Manning as their quarterback. And not that Hines didn't have a Hall of Famer either, but it came later in his career. It didn't come till later in his career.
Right.
At any rate, there was one season where if you took into account that the number of passes that were thrown by his team Hines Ward caught a greater percentage of passes on his team than either Harrison or Reggie Wayne did in Indianapolis. And I guess Harrison would be the best example because he was the more prolific of the two by a little bit. So you could make an argument that he was kind of a leading receiver because he didn't have as many chances as the other guys because the Steelers ran the ball all the time. But there was one year where he was as prolific as any receiver to go along with everything else. I mean, they named a rule after him, basically, with the blocking rule, with the kind of the, not crackback isn't the exact thing. Is there a name for what he did?
No, that was
the blindside block with Rivers.
Blindside, crackback, whatever you want to call it.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.